friends, it's Mark and Annette with Finding Meaning. We are thrilled to have you with us again today. And in this episode, we're going to explore the idea that the secret to a happy life lies not in chasing happiness itself, but in pursuing meaning and value.
I learned that a happy life was a happy wife, or a happy wife was a happy life, one of the two. So are you saying that it's different than that?
It may be, honey.
Okay.
But as we live this concept of living this purposeful life, it leads to genuine fulfillment. And happiness is a natural byproduct of that.
So why is this an important conversation right now, so early in on our new podcast series?
Well, it's been interesting as I have been doing a lot of study and research and listening to educators and different podcasts and things. There was a specific thought that came up that just won't leave my mind. They talked about how the secret to a happy life is not chasing happiness. And
That's an interesting concept, because what's the difference between chasing happiness versus finding happiness?
I think when we chase happiness, sometimes we feel like if we have more of this or more of that, or if I accomplish this or I accomplish that, then I'll be happy. And yeah, there's some fleeting happiness and joy. And our whole philosophy and our whole mindset is that when I reach this point, or I accomplish this, or I no longer am sick, or this or that. There's always these attachments associated with, then I will be happy. And what this thought caused me to think, and have been processing and talking to you back and forth about it, is that it's not when we reach those points that happiness happens. Happiness can happen along the way, in the becoming, in the healing, in the finding meaning, in living this life of purpose.
At the same token, I think that when we talk about the difference between multiplying happiness, for example, and chasing happiness, I think too often, as I think in my own life, when I try to chase happiness, it seems like I might achieve something that brings happiness, only to have something else that makes me think, okay, well, I can't be happy now until this happens. And so what you're talking about is really rethinking the whole idea of happiness.
Exactly.
Okay.
You know, there was another quote as I was, you know, researching, and you may have heard this, Henry David Thoreau said, happiness is like a butterfly. The more you chase it, the more it will elude you. But if you turn your attention to other things, it will come and sit softly on your shoulder.
That's a great quote.
Have you ever tried to catch a butterfly?
It's almost impossible.
It is. And I really like this metaphor, because as we focus on the other things, happiness is going to come and be our companion.
So what you're saying, Annette, is that happiness is a byproduct of fulfillment.
Yes.
Okay, great. So as we look at fulfillment comes in a lot of different ways. And fulfillment in life is going to be completely different from me, for example, than from many of our listeners.
Correct.
The things that bring me joy and happiness are really focused on my core values. The things that allow me to be happy are going to come from being fulfilled in other areas of my life, and important areas. You know, when I think of core values, I think of how they shape our attitudes, our actions, the decisions that we make, and really also impact our personal lives. And when you live in an alignment with your values, it really is linked, I think, with what you're saying, Annette, to psychological well-being.
Right. So, you know, when we talk about these core values, how do we determine what those core values are?
Oh, good question. As I've been thinking about this week, I've come to one conclusion, and that is well, core values are not fixed. Core values are not fixed, but dynamic, and they evolve through the experiences that we have in life. Let me give you an example. You might be eating junk food until you have a health crisis. And then all of a sudden you get better and you've made a decision that I'm never going to do that again. And you become vigilant in advocating for healthy eating. And so what that means is that it's not a static type of thing. It's an ever growing change that might affect our core values just by the experiences that we have.
That's interesting. And it is, you know, ever developing, and it can be brought on and changed because of those experiences.
Let me give you another example, and then we'll talk about core values and how we determine what our core values might be. I was talking to someone recently who considered themselves to be a bully when they were young. And throughout his life growing up, there were a lot of things that were deficient in his life. But one of the things that he felt that now and later in life that he didn't do very well was accept others for who they were and what they represented. And so in his life, he has made a very conscious decision to change and to be more acceptable of other people, recognizing that life can be very lonely if someone maybe feels bullied or someone feels that because they're different, they're not accepted like everyone else. And so as we were talking about core values, one of his core values is acceptance. And living a life of acceptance is important for him. So let's talk for a second, Annette, about what core values might be. I mean, you can think of different words. You know, I just go down the list here: abundance, acceptance, accountability, achievement, boldness, benevolence, clarity, cheerfulness, cleverness. I mean, there's so many: ethics, excellence, family, flexibility, fun, grace, honesty, kindness. You pick the quality that you want to exhibit. And then what we do is once you determine what that might be, and I would encourage our listeners to maybe consider five words. You know, maybe it's something that we talked about: service, security. Maybe you're looking for responsibility, or you want versatility in your life, or warmth. Maybe you're seeking for grace. You know, when I was picking my words out, I chose the following words. One was balance. One was compassion. One was grace. One was kindness. One was spirituality. And one was wisdom. Now, that's a few more than five, but those were very important words. And then what I did is I assigned a verb to go along with those. So, for example, I seek balance. I want to show compassion. I want to give grace, not only to others, but to myself as well. I think that's important. Kindness. I want to promote kindness to others. When it comes to spirituality, I want to develop a greater spirituality and seek opportunities to share wisdom and to gain wisdom. So when we determine what those values are, again, we begin to see that our lives and our decisions that we make in life, our attitudes, become aligned with those core values. And I think that when we're trying to find happiness, it's important that we recognize what that core value is that brings us happiness.
Well, that's really interesting. And I would think that as you go through this activity in, you know, creating and looking at core values and picking a few core values to work on, to develop, that those core values can be added upon. That maybe at a later time, you might want to add a different, you know, core value. Maybe let's say, you know, service. It doesn't mean you get rid of the other core values. It's just that maybe you're focusing on
right,
and adding a different value.
Well, remember what I said, that these are not fixed by any means. They can grow and they can evolve. And again, it's going to, a lot of our experience in life is going to allow us to reflect, to look back and try to ascertain what that experience was all about. And so, you know, as I find meaning in life, you know, I think that sometimes we can maybe not be quite honest with ourselves as well. And the reason why we're having this discussion is because it's all about honesty. It's all about being able to live a life of significance, a life that allows us to be our very best, not be perfect, but to be our best. And sometimes the best for one person is going to be completely different than the best for someone else. But for me, you know, think of it this way as well. And it's a little bit of a morbid way to think about it. But in your obituary, have you ever tried writing your own obituary?
It was an assignment probably in a class of high school.
You know, I've thought
very different.
You know, I've thought about that a few times in my life. What would I want people to remember me as? And some of those words that I shared with you came out. And the key here, when I say we need to be honest with ourselves, we might choose specific words. Maybe we're terrible at being motivated. Maybe our motivation is terrible, and so maybe that doesn't necessarily define my core value. Maybe I'm compelled at things I have to do instead of being motivated like I should. Well, that probably wouldn't be one of my core values. And until I was able to develop it as a core value. And so there's nothing wrong with having more than 5-7 core values in our lives. But the key here is to remember what those core values are. And so the idea is once we determine what our core value might be, then the idea would be to put it on a piece of paper in a place that we can remember. And it's interesting because once we begin to give ourselves a little bit of grace, which is one of my words, then we allow ourselves to use that particular principle or that particular core value as a strength, not only in our lives, but to help others along the way as well.
So help me understand, you know, I've heard a lot about living a life of purpose, you know, or living a life of significance. How does these core values help us in living that life of significance?
Well, I think, Annette, it comes down to one very, very important question. What is the purpose of my life? I think we have, for the eons, probably since the beginning of man, we've asked that question. What is my purpose? Why am I here? And what should I be doing? Each of us were blessed. And I use that word because I think it's the right word. Each of us were blessed with certain talents and abilities. And really, this earth life is really meant for us to develop what those talents and abilities might be. I know people that have an incredible talent in making friends. You're one of those people. I know people that have an incredible talent when it comes to the wisdom that they share. Or maybe being able to be calm or to have strength in adversity. Those are all talents that we develop through experiences in our lives. And when we live a life of significance, I believe that that life of significance is a product of how much courage we have to be able to show those core values in a way that they become opportunities not only to ourselves, but again, to those around us that we can help.
Really like where we're headed with this discussion, because I can see now how having these core values that we focus on, it gives us and helps us have this clear sense of purpose, which then provides direction and motivation, even a deeper sense of fulfillment, even in the face of challenges.
And I think that part is important because we began talking about happiness. And I think it's easy to sometimes get a little bit, what's the right word there? When we're talking about happiness, that might not necessarily be the fulfillment that we're looking for in life. Yeah, it's going to go a long way because we want to be happy. But think about the core values that certain people in Nazi Germany had, especially the Jews that were in concentration camps. Many of them that survived indicated that the reason why they were able to survive was because of the core values that they had. They were able to, in their small little place, For example, they would make sure that things weren't cluttered, that they were orderly. And that was a core value. Now, did that core value necessarily bring happiness? Maybe not in the world's sense of happiness, but it brought happiness in the fact that they were able to control what they could control.
And I think that's what we're talking about is look at this beyond the world's definition of happiness. We are looking at a lasting inner peace, inner contentment, inner joy amidst those trials. Just like you said, you know, how can these Jews in the concentration camps have this mindset? And it was because of those core values, just like you were talking about. So I really love that thought and exploring that with you.
One of the most incredible books that has given me cause to think throughout my life is Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl, who was in that same situation in the concentration camps. If you've never read that book, I would strongly encourage you to go to the library and pick one up. Because what you're going to find is here was a man that was able to determine what his core values were. And those core values allowed him to find the peace, the fulfillment that he needed in order to get past the atrocities that were taking place that would have probably killed most other people. And I that's an extreme example. But when we talk about our own lives, we're on the most part, hopefully, have never been in a concentration camp. But we can be put in our own cells. We can be put in our own jails when we don't have correct thinking patterns that allow us to know what those values are and live that life of significance. The saddest thing I think I ever see are people that just give up. And they give up because they don't feel like they have any value. When all it takes for them is to explore, what do I do right? What do I think right? And even if it's something very, very small, I exercise every day. That's great. That's part of your core value. I have passion for the underprivileged. That's a core value as well. And then once we determine what that core value is, we're able to not just put it on paper, but to begin to live our lives more in congruency with that value.
So when we understand that core value, it gives us a clear sense of direction, maybe even a guiding beacon, if you will, in helping us navigate our life and have clarity and focus. So when you know your purpose, you have a clear understanding of what you want to achieve and the direction in which you want to go. You know, I think it's so helpful to have that and to understand where I want to go in life. And as we're in different phases and of life, that direction might shift just a little bit. Maybe not the direction, but the focus, because of where we're at. But when you also talk about having those core values and understanding that, having a clear understanding of your purpose and what you want, it helps us stay motivated.
It does. And one of the things that I think that we fail at sometimes is when we have experiences where nothing is gained from that experience. And I've had plenty of experiences in my life, and you know, Annette, that I like to talk about patterns a lot. When I'm teaching, patterns are very important, whether they be patterns that will help us to understand why we make some of the decisions that we make sometimes, or whether they're patterns based upon what we see others, the decisions that they make. And as we look at those patterns, as we try to make decisions based on the patterns that are around us, fulfillment comes. Maybe happiness doesn't always come immediately, but fulfillment comes. And we could spend probably the whole time talking about patterns and the whole idea of values in our lives here, but we need to move forward.
Right. You know, well, let me ask you this question. How does having that clear sense of purpose foster resilience in the face of adversity?
Oh, wow. You know, resilience is an important word, because without resilience, it's easy to go back to living the same life we've been living without making change. And sometimes having that clear sense of vision really is what gives us the motivation to move forward, to make decisions that maybe we wouldn't have had the courage to do unless we had that motivation.
You know, I like that. You know, I'm thinking about this past year or so in my life, in our life, but when I was diagnosed with stage 4 liver disease, it maybe rocked my boat a little bit.
Just a little bit.
And you know, for several months, I floundered, and I didn't know what direction to head anymore, because where I thought I was going, now this was a big speed bump in the road. But once I settled in and found that clear direction again, those core values, focused on those core values never changed. The direction, my purpose in life didn't change. But it helped me when I realized that the focusing on those things helped me to be resilient and saying, okay, now let's move forward.
Maybe those core values did change a little bit. Maybe they helped you go from being a B student to an A student.
True. Because now I don't take for granted some of the things that maybe I did. And I've, you know, like you said, I've put more effort into certain things. So I think, yeah, I've become that star pupil.
You know,
in some areas.
Yes, you have become that star pupil. I remember an experience that I had in the third grade, Annette. And that experience was at parent-teacher conference. And when I went, you know, I was always a good student. I wasn't the best student. I wasn't the worst student by any means, but I was very happy with being in the middle. I mean, how many of us live our lives happy with being in the middle? Just being average, maybe a C student. And I remember, and it hit me hard back in the third grade. How old is a third grader? Nine, 10 years old there. We went to this parent-teacher conference, and I remember the first thing that my teacher said to my parents as I was sitting there next to them was, "Mark is a really smart kid." And here were the words that hit me to the core. "But Mark is capable of more and or better work." Wow. Wow. That hit me. I could no longer be the average student. I had to look at my purpose with the idea that, it's really important to do my very best.
And it made a difference because someone saw that you had that in you.
Yeah. And that's where we go back to those values again. And we talked about grace. And I not only found grace through someone else, but after that point, I was able to find it myself, within myself, and it really became a core value.
Yeah. I really like that, and how grateful I am for individuals in my life that have helped me and offered me grace, and my children and you.
So I've got a question for you, Annette.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So really, how does living your life in alignment with your core values and principles, and maybe even prioritizing your values, and some of the, I don't know what your core values that you listed down were, but whether they were integrity, compassion, generosity, or whatever they might've been, how does that foster a sense of meaning and fulfillment for you?
Wow. For me, I feel like by prioritizing those values, and for one of my core values is compassion. And especially in relationships. And having, focusing on those core values and having that integrity and even generosity with life's experiences, I feel like I've really focused a lot on relationships. And I'm so grateful for relationships in my life and for the fulfillment I get from being a good listener, for being a friend, for caring, for helping others. And the interesting thing is, when I help others by just doing simple things, there is a happiness inside me.
But that doesn't come free.
No.
It has to be worked on. It has to be something that you develop, even though it might have been a difficult experience or situation that you went through.
Right. And it's learning from those experiences. It's taking those experiences in life and learning how to adapt them and then becoming more nurturing. I can read an environment now.
So this is a good point to maybe reflect for a moment. If you haven't gotten a pencil and paper already, I would encourage you to do so, because the next exercise is very important. As you've developed those core values and as you continue to develop those core values, let's talk about, just for a moment, experiences that you've had. And I would like you, if you would, to write down on a piece of paper three experiences that have been very profound experiences in your life. And from those experiences, next, write down next to that, what did you learn from that experience, or what do you wish you would have learned from that? Now, we're going to ask you to pause just for a moment here to do that. And as you do so, again, just write down three ideas, three experiences that you had that were maybe difficult experiences. Number one, what did you learn from it? And number two, what do you wish you would have learned from it? And let's come back and talk about it in a second. Okay, Annette, we've had a chance to reflect on some experiences in our lives here. And can I start with one, just to kind of give you an idea of what one of my experiences was? One of my experiences was losing our 21-year-old son, Reed, to the effects of a brain tumor. Now, that could have taken me a number of different directions. It could have taken me on a pity party. Now, I don't want to discount the fact that this was a very, very difficult time in our lives. And maybe pity party isn't the right word, but I could have gone down a road.
You could have felt sorry for yourself for a very long time.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that when people do that, we begin to go the opposite direction of where those core values might be. So instead of having a resilience core value, that resilience might begin to suffer because we continually look at ourselves as, why did this have to happen to me? Now, what happened to me and what happened to us is something that was very intentional and something that we have watched ourselves for the last 13 years as we have been able to help other people along the way. Now, it's been difficult listening to people's tragedies and hear some of the experiences they've had. But from that experience of loss, I feel that one of the core values that we have developed is compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Can you think of anything?
You know, compassion, and they don't have to go through the same experience as we have to have compassion and empathy. And that is huge. You know, for me, another experience, I remember sitting in church several years ago, and we found out that someone that was a member of our congregation had cancer. And my heart just broke because of what they would go through. I knew that there would be suffering. I knew that there would be heartache. I knew that there would be pain. And I knew what that felt like. And that compassion, that empathy, I want to say, you know, it gave me a greater sense and purpose of being a neighbor, being kind, being supportive, and how can I, you know, lend a helping hand. But it was all in line with the core values and our purpose, my purpose in life.
Those core values can be very, very small. They can be large. You know, think of of all the research that took place for pasteurized milk. Someone might be looked at in their history as this is the person that was able to purify milk, or this is a person that invented vaccines for some dreaded disease. The things that we do in life don't have to be so
rigid.
Well, they don't have to be rigid, but they don't have to be so big either. I like what you said about the fact that, one of the things that you feel like you do well, and I know that you do this well, because I see you every single day almost do this, is you have compassion for those that might need a hand. They might need to feel better about themselves. They might need something that they just can't give themselves. That is about as small, but at the same time, about as large to that person as you can possibly imagine.
What I have learned, and I've had to recognize, to set aside the uncomfortableness or what would they think, you know, what the things of the world and just those doubts that our mind, you know, plays games with us sometimes. But if I have a thought or an impression to reach out to someone, I don't question it anymore. I just act upon it. It can be a simple text. It can be a phone call. It's nothing big. But I know in my life that the times the individuals have reached out to me are red letter days when I have needed it. And I will never forget their loving compassion because they reached it.
So whether you're the giver or whether you're the receiver of that compassion, the opportunity is there for us to better ourselves, to refine ourselves. And this is where we're going with this conversation, as we begin to recognize who we are. And that question, as simple as it might seem, might be something that sometimes we have a hard time answering. Who am I?
Right.
And who do others see that I am? And do they mesh together?
So it's that inner harmony and that well-being of meshing together those core values and our actions. And if that inner harmony is there, then we are living in alignment. We are living in alignment with those core values, and we're prioritizing those values, such as compassion and integrity and generosity. Those things enriches life experiences, and they foster a sense of meaning and fulfillment.
There's a word that I love that I think is important to our discussion here as well, and the word is harmony. Mm-hmm. How do we live our life in harmony? Are we living the big lie, or are we striving to do our very best? I think too often we feel that we need to be perfect with something, and because we feel that way, it's hard to feel harmony. Whether it's with balance, whether it's an achievement in your life, with kindness, or really anything else, it's very hard to feel that if we can't, if we don't feel that harmony in our lives. And so regardless of what your core value is, having harmony and being able to find peace within yourself with that harmony is really the critical key.
So talking about harmony and peace within ourselves, I feel like that's talking about self-compassion and cultivating self-compassion and practicing self-compassion and treating ourselves with kindness and understanding during those challenging times. Would we say to our friends some of the things that we say to ourselves that are negative?
I hope not.
But often those negative thoughts are the first things that come to mind. And we have got to get rid of them. We have to practice that self-compassion. We have to acknowledge the feelings. We need to allow for self-expression and understanding and not judging that I might be angry or I might be scared, but just let it be.
So one of the hardest things in life, Annette, is often having the courage to act. If I were to say something to someone that's going through a difficult time in their life right now, oh, am I going to mess up? Am I going to say the wrong thing? And we don't have the courage to say the right thing. And because of that, again, we kind of go back to square one, where change is not something that's happening. I love the fact that change, when we do it with courage, allows us to find that fulfillment. But it does start with that whole idea of having the courage to make those changes.
Yeah. You know, some of the things that we can do is practice gratitude.
That's something that we haven't really talked about. And when you talk about gratitude, think about the people that are negative that you know in life. And why are they negative? Because often much of what they think about is negative, and they can't find that congruency that you're talking about. And so, Annette, what are some of the ways that we can find gratitude or show gratitude?
You know, I heard at a conference that I attended, it was something in the financial industries, that I came to a conference with you.
Mm-hmm.
And a gentleman was presenting, Joe Jordan, and he talked about Gratitude Friday. And I think it's been like 30, 40 years ago he started this, and he started sending notes of gratitude and appreciation on Fridays that he would, you know, a handwritten note or a phone call. And what a difference that's made in his life. I mean, how that can align with his core values, his purpose in life. It lifts another, but also has this pretty magical effect on yourself as you think of the things that you're grateful for and have a mindset, a purpose of a self-reflection, if you will, where you're just focusing on those things that you're grateful for.
Amen. I agree. And it's something that he does a great job. I've been on the receiving end of some of those Friday memos or Friday emails that he's sent out, just a note to say thank you. And you're right. You know, I think that when we show gratitude, whether we show it in the form of a gratitude journal, whether we show gratitude by something that someone else has done, it really is. It's reciprocal. It's something that doesn't just help the person that's receiving, but it makes you more genuine. It makes you more loving. It makes you someone that you wish that you could be more like.
Yeah. It really just has such a positive effect on your emotional state when you do something like that. You know, we have talked so much about the core values and purpose. You know, what's our purpose in life? You know, I think another critical thing in this journey and finding meaning in life is that we continually learn. And we seek for personal growth on this journey in living this meaningful life.
Something that's really big right now, Annette, in the business world is the whole idea of having a growth mindset. A growth mindset allows us to really embrace the things that are happening around us by viewing setbacks really as opportunities and learning from those experiences. You know, the companies that don't do well are those that are stuck in the past. There's a reason why companies like Sears and Kmart haven't done well. It's because they grew out of their model. And if we're not careful, we can grow out of a model as well and become something that we feel like maybe we've lost value. Maybe we're not able to grow and to find that mindset necessary that is important so that we don't have a fixed idea on the outcomes. But more than anything else, celebrate opportunities.
You know, I like that. I like the thought about that growth mindset. And part of that for me is stepping out of my comfort zone.
No, difficult.
It is difficult. And learning and finding new passions in life. I mean, this podcast is stepping out of a comfort zone for me.
Well, for both of us. But at the same time, we've talked about authenticity.
Right.
And being authentic sometimes means stepping away from that which is the most comfortable for us.
Exactly. But what's happened is there's been some incredible experiences and people that we've met along this journey. And it's been a joyful experience and one that has stretched me and helped me to learn and grow. You know, what are some other thoughts final thoughts on how happiness is a byproduct of living a meaningful life?
Well, I think it comes back to what we talked about earlier, which is really clarifying our values and our goals so that when decisions are needed to be made, those decisions are made based on those values. Maybe inherently, Annette, we make decisions based on those values, but we don't think about it. And maybe when we have a difficult decision that needs to be made, maybe instead of just making a rash decision based on what our emotion might tell us, maybe we have to ask ourselves, what is that core value? What is the opportunity that I have to answer a question or to take care of a need that I have based upon the things that are most important with me? And the beauty and the miracle of this whole idea of core values is being able to make better informed decisions, being able to have better understanding of the things that are going on around me that maybe I didn't feel like I had control over. And so to me, to answer your question, that's the value of identifying what these values and goals in our lives, I'm not going to say what they should be because everybody has different values. And I'm not suggesting that we all have the same values or saying, okay, of all of these 60 values that I could share with you, you need to have all 60 of these values. It's not necessarily important. I can't be happy all the time. Happiness might be a value, and I might try to multiply my happiness, but as a value in and of itself, I don't want to have to live a life where I know that I'm not happy, but I tell everybody around me that I am happy.
Which then we don't have that harmony within us when we feel like we have to tell everybody we're happy when we're not. It's okay to reach out to others and say, you know what? Today's a rough day. We're, you know, I might eat chips and salsa today. That's my code word.
Code words.
Chips and salsa is a code word for me, and my friends know it, that I just need some time to be connected. And so, it helps.
Yeah. So the reason why, again, and we're at the end of our conversation. But the reason why this was such an important conversation today is to establish a baseline. Mm-hmm. So as we continue to have conversations about our own emotional resilience and trying to find that growth within ourselves it's important to start with that basis. We just got back from Egypt a couple of months ago, and we had an opportunity of going and visiting the Great Pyramids. What was unique about the base of the pyramid, Annette?
The base of the pyramid? Well, it was solid.
It may be the same as what our values should be. Mm-hmm. Our core values need to be solid. They were the heaviest that were able to carry some of the other lighter rocks on top.
Right. They were the biggest.
And so maybe our lives are like pyramids. And as we continue down this journey of hope, during this journey of trying to find the fulfillment in our life that sometimes eludes us, let's think of ourselves and those core values as a base of our foundation.
Yeah, I really like that. Another thought in closing here, I just wanted to share something with you, friends. This was found in Psychology Today. It's on happiness. Unfortunately, for many, happiness is elusive. Scientists know that more than simply positive mood, happiness is a state of well-being that encompasses living a good life, that is, with a sense of meaning and deep satisfaction. It goes on to say, research shows that happiness is not the result of bouncing from one experience to the next. Instead, achieving happiness typically involves a long-sustained effort for something more important in life. Happiness is determined by habits, behaviors, and thoughts and patterns that we can directly address with intentional action. Much of our happiness is actually under personal control. That sums up everything we've been talking about, in the fact that as we focus and have a sense of meaning, we will have deep satisfaction, which brings that desired happiness. Friends, as we conclude this discussion with you today, we invite you to reflect on your own pursuit of meaning and value in life. We encourage you to shift your focus from chasing happiness to embracing purpose and living in alignment with your core values.
One more thing. Give yourself grace this week.
Oh, beautiful. Yes, thank you. Take care.